Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
Holy crap, it's Nerd Pride Radio.
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
It's a place for all the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
Look, by definition, if I'm interested in it, then it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
I'm in love with a nerd.
Welcome to episode 5 of Nerd Pride Radio. 5, the basis for the 5-second rule, which, strangely enough, invented by our 5th president, James Monroe. There you go. But you know what else I learned about 5 today? Take a look at the dice in your Monopoly set. Yeah, see the dots that make up the 5? In a little X pattern like that? Yeah, apparently that pattern of 5 dots is called a quincunx. Quincunx. What a great word, huh? Yeah, go figure. So, it seems it originally comes from an ancient Roman coin called the quincunx. And the best part about the quincunx? It was worth 5/12 of an ass. Yeah, that's right. Their main coin at the time in ancient Rome was the ass. A-S. Yeah, I don't know what's better, their ass coins or the fact that they made other coins that were worth 5/12 of something. Seriously, it's like adding a new coin to our currency and going, okay, let's see, I got pennies and quarters and nickels and, ooh, look, is that a half dollar? And what the hell is that? Well, you've never seen that before. That's the McDiddle. It's worth 41.5 cents. It's, yeah, see, that's what it's like. 5/12, not even a point to it. But it's called the quincunx. So there you go, number 5. Enough of that. Ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me. I am awesome. Today is a great day. Seriously. And why is it a great day? Well, one, I've been working hard all week. Got to feel good about that. I'm a little tired. A little stressed, maybe, but feeling good. And right now, I am wearing my very favorite t-shirt that says, hello, my name is Inigo Montoya, etc., etc. Love this shirt. And I am drinking a brand new bottle of Diet Dr. Pepper, which is, okay, not a winner, but that's all right. I can live with that. My name is Mike. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio. And my co-host this week is Sonej Eko. Wait a minute. Yeah, good try, guys. Yeah, that's Ronnie, my technical director, he's messing with the teleprompter again. For some reason, he's always trying to get me to say my name backwards, even though he knows it'll send me back to the 5th dimension. And then where would the show be, Ronnie? Yeah. All right, see, you didn't think of that, did you? Ah, well, this week, we're going to open up with some listener mail. I actually have mail. Well, again, technically, not email or physical mail, because as I told you, the best way to contact me is join up on the forums. And that's where I got this, from a private message on our forums, from DM Darks. And DM Darks writes, okay, so I just finished listening to episode 3 as my wife comes downstairs from doing laundry. She's laughing like a donkey at me at the moment because of your little song at the end. She's assuming you're trying to irk me intentionally. I don't think that you are, because I've never voiced my opinions to you on this that I can think of. She's laughing because I have become flushed. Abbey Road is my absolute favorite Beatles album for a number of reasons. While I'm willing to say that they had more popular, more influential, heck, just plain better albums, Abbey Road is my personal favorite. It would almost be the perfect album in existence, except that it has Her Majesty on it. Or more specifically, it has Her Majesty as the last track. If it was after Maxwell's Silver Hammer, I wouldn't care at all. Heck, I'd much rather hear it somewhere on the White Album. The mood would fit that album so much better anyway. But no, where does Paul put it? At the end, after this huge multi-song medley of music continually flowing into each other, exploring such a huge range of emotions and moods in such a short time, after the best farewell message a band could give at the end of their time together, such a huge explosion of joy, after the wonderful dueling guitar solos, after one of the few times Ringo even bothers playing a drum solo, and such beautiful lyrics, and in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make. After throwing in some orchestral instruments just to fill out that beautiful major chord at the end, what are we left with? Paul usurping the group with a 30-second song that only involves him, just to flip the rest of them off. Jerk. So, for your Podomatic, what's your favorite Beatles song and favorite Beatles album? And I believe everyone has at least one Beatles song they like, and I want to know your favorite. All right, first off, obviously I didn't do this just to irk you. I love Her Majesty right at the end there. Look, I agree with you. I think Abbey Road is a spectacular album. I love the whole thing. I think it goes really well. And then right at the end, after all of this big production, this huge, wonderful flow of music together, at the very end, they end with this little counterpoint, this little nothing throwaway song. I think it's wonderful. I've always liked Her Majesty right there. Always enjoyed that song, and that's why when it comes to the end of the podcast, that was one of the first things I thought of was, you know what? What a great way to finish things off. So personally, I think you're completely off your nut. I see your point, but you're crazy, Darks. Sorry. But as far as my favorite Beatles song, this one's an easy one for me. Love Me Do. I love that song. It's one of their earlier ones, and Love Me Do is just such a soulful, bluesy kind of number. I know it's if you don't know the Beatles well, people kind of consider it just one of those really simple, you know, I want to hold your hand kind of things, all you need is love, the really simple sentiment. But listen to Love Me Do. The thing is really, really powerful. I'm not talking to you, Darks. I know you've listened to it. You know what I'm talking about. For other people who maybe aren't big Beatles fans, try that one out. It is my absolute favorite. But that's just my favorite Beatles song. There's lots of great Beatles songs. I started flipping through my iPod to see, you know, I haven't listened to some Beatles in a while. So I'm flipping through it, thinking, gosh, you know, which ones do I really like? And as I'm putting them together, I realize, yeah, you know what? I could make, you know, two full albums, two full mix CDs of Beatles songs that I absolutely love. So, yeah, Love Me Do at the top of the list. But Eleanor Rigby, She Said off of Revolver, Come Together, Revolution 1, Don't Pass Me. In fact, anything off the White Album. I have a real soft spot for the White Album because that was my introduction to the Beatles. Back in 1988, I had a girlfriend who had a tape that was the White Album, or at least most of the White Album, had been dubbed over onto this thing, and I wound up stealing it from her and just fell in love with it. And so, yeah, I own tons and tons of Beatles. Lots of good stuff. But, okay, Love Me Do. There's my answer. So, sorry, didn't put it on the Podomatic, but just too good a question not to answer right away. Now, to follow that up, before we get to our main topic, we actually have a doubleheader edition of Mike Was Wrong. That's right. I've been wrong twice since the last time we did this. First off, in last episode, episode 4, I told a story about my mom getting lost two blocks from our house. And I incorrectly reported that when I lived in Prattville, Alabama, I lived on Poplar Avenue. Turns out it's actually Poplar Street. And Poplar Street was not a giant oval, as I recounted in the story, but rather a giant horseshoe. In fact, go ahead and go to Google Maps right now, do a quick search for Poplar Street in Prattville, Alabama, and you will see exactly what I'm talking about. There's Poplar, giant horseshoe shape, which still does not detract from the story because it still happened. We just happened to be cutting across a horseshoe instead of an oval. And the cut-across road, the one that actually cut across that horseshoe bend there and then also headed back out into town, I reported in the podcast that was Sherman Street. And it turns out, no, Sherman's the road I lived on when we lived in Papillion, Nebraska. Actually, the street that should have been involved in this story was Wright Street. So there you go. Again, doesn't change the substance of the story, but I was, in fact, wrong. So for those Nerd Pride fanatics out there who are faithfully following every detail of my stories and my life, yeah, you'll want to get that one right when you go recount this one in Google Maps. But that's just part one. Part two of Mike Was Wrong, from the Podomatic in episode 3, Eliah had asked me a question about a Czech composer named Dvorak, which I stupidly pronounced Dvorak, because that's how it's spelled. Fortunately, one of our very astute and obviously above-average listeners, Stan, was able to correct my sloppy pronunciation. Turns out there are silent letters in there, extra sounds thrown in for no stupid reason, And the correct pronunciation is not Dvorak. It is actually pronounced Nikephorus. So thank you, Stan. I appreciate that. But now for the main topic. I told you guys last week, last episode, that my wife and I would be driving to Red Cloud, Nebraska, in order to meet up with Eliahad, who is from the boards. And, in fact, a week ago, that's exactly what we did. We drove up to Red Cloud, Nebraska, for the Willa Cather Festival that's down there. And among the other many things we did while we were there, we got to meet Eliahad. And I'll get to that in a minute. But we had a wonderful trip. It was such a good time. We drove down Saturday and checked into a hotel in a town about 30 minutes away from Red Cloud. And then once we got checked in, went and bought a new shirt because mine got a hole in it. Then we drove down to Red Cloud, Nebraska, where they were holding the Willa Cather Festival. Little did we know, Red Cloud is the dinky town that houses the Willa Cather Foundation. Now, for those of you who are not native Nebraskans and didn't have to read Willa Cather as part of your high school English class, Willa Cather is a very famous Nebraska writer, and we all had to study her in school. And it turns out, also, a major lesbian. I was not aware of that before now. They did not focus on that extensively while I was in school. But she wrote My Antonia, O Pioneers. Those are the ones they forced me to read. I'm sure she wrote lots of other stuff. I don't know what any of it is. So, they have the Willa Cather Foundation, which is dedicated to preserving all things Willa Cather. And we didn't realize that this was, this weekend, the last weekend when we went down there, was their Willa Cather Festival or Willa Cather Convention or whatever it is they call it, where the whole Willa Cather Foundation, they all come together in Red Cloud, and they had this whole weekend-long series of events related to Willa Cather and Red Cloud and Nebraska writing. Wonderful for them. What we went down for was specifically the culmination, their big dinner banquet at the very end of their weekend. This was Saturday night. And they had the big dinner, which we paid for, and we attended the banquet, and it was wonderful, lovely. And then, after dinner, while we're all still there in this theater, there was actually an old opera house. They then showed two silent movies. The first was The Cook, a silent short, about 20 minutes long, I think. I don't remember. But The Cook, a silent black and white film starring Buster Keaton and Fatty Arbuckle. Really funny. And then following The Cook, they also showed Charlie Chaplin's The Kid. And the magic of this, and the reason they had it here, apparently Willa Cather was a big movie fan and a big Charlie Chaplin fan herself, and so this was because of that. But the reason I attended, the reason my wife and I drove down there, is that the Mont Alto Orchestra out of Colorado was attending, and they actually score silent films and then play for them live. And so the Mont Alto Orchestra was there playing live music to accompany these films. And it was amazing. Absolutely amazing. I've never watched a silent film in my life. I've never watched a Charlie Chaplin film in my life. How horrible is that of me, really? And I loved them. I would not have expected myself to enjoy them this much. And what I told the... The Mont Alto Orchestra, the most notable thing about Mont Alto is that Eliahad plays the cello for Mont Alto. And his lovely wife was there as well, and she played violin. And the whole group of them, there were five of them, were just wonderful. And we went out with them afterwards, and I told them that part of the magic was that I really didn't even notice them most of the time. You know, that you want to go in and you want to say nice things. You know, here's a friend of mine, and he's playing the music, and you want to go in and tell him what a wonderful, wonderful job he did. But they did their job so well that really we were just focused on the movies the whole time. And just, it was wonderful. Eliahad, if you're listening, and I know you are, to counterpoint that, we came back here, and we came back to our home, and we were so enamored of The Cook that it was, we just thought, as we watched it and then as we talked about it afterwards, we thought, you know, this is a movie that our kids would love to see. And so we looked up The Cook. You can find portions of it on YouTube. We looked up The Cook, and we watched it with our kids, and they also found it really funny, and we really enjoyed watching The Cook. But the scoring was completely different. The movie versions were actually slightly different. There's a story behind that. But it turned out that the music was completely different in the YouTube version, and it actually really took away from the experience. I mean, it was still a funny film, and we enjoyed it the second time. Our kids enjoyed watching it for the first time. But Montalto, my hat is off to you. The scoring you did was wonderful. So kudos to you guys. Now, I'm taking all this kind of out of order. Let me back up a little bit. We get to Red Cloud. We find the Red Cloud Opera House. And who knew that there was an opera house in Red Cloud? Well, I'll tell you who knew. The guy that we sat at the table with for dinner. Because apparently, he knew about all sorts of opera houses all around Nebraska. Did you know Nebraska used to have 400 and some opera houses? I didn't know that, but boy, this guy did, and told me about it at length. We got to dinner, and, we got upstairs, and just before we go in to sit down for dinner, we're like, we've been on the road for hours, we need to stop in and use the restroom before we go in. I go into the bathroom, and as I walk into the bathroom, there's a dude in a tuxedo standing at a urinal. And as I'm looking at the back of his head, I have never met the guy in person. I have known Eliahad for over 10 years online. We are great friends online. And that is the full extent of our relationship up to this point. But I've seen photos of him from Facebook and from other places. And so here he is in a tuxedo, standing in a urinal, and I recognize the back of his head. And so this is how we met. And so he, of course, finished his business. I called his name. And then we gave each other a great big hug, sat there and chatted in the men's room. He didn't even wash his hands before he hugged me. How uncouth, seriously. And that's how we met, is standing in the men's room in the Red Cloud Opera House. But anyway, he did eventually wash his hands. And then he went out to play, and he didn't have much time. So it's me and my wife sitting at this dinner table now, waiting for the food to come, waiting for the show to start. And as we're looking around, we're having dinner, a banquet, in an old opera house, and they're serving wine that, I have never been to any event where the wine just comes out for free. Normally you have to pay for alcohol. The whole thing seems rather fancy. And the people there seem fairly sophisticated and intellectual. And it is a potentially very intimidating kind of situation to be in. We're looking around, and my wife kept commenting, gosh, I feel so out of place here. And it is, it's very, we're common folk. We're, some Nebraska hayseeds. We don't get out to fancy events all that much. And then, as I'm looking around, it suddenly occurred to me. Baby, I said, look at this whole room. Look at all of them. They're mixing, they're having their drinks, they're talking. So this is nothing but a room full of nerds. I mean, every one of them. I mean, okay, sure. We're having wine served to us at the meal, but let's note that it's, kind of cheap wine, and it's being served in plastic glasses, for God's sake. And all these people out here, all of them, yes, they're, on average, they were all much older than we were, and seemed to be better dressed, and again, an air of sophistication there. But again, you got to look at these people and realize, no, every person here is a person who has dedicated their lives, all of their free time, because this is a volunteer organization, they've dedicated themselves to the writings of Willa Cather. They've dedicated their lives to the writings of a, famous for Nebraska, but, a mid-level Nebraska author from 150 years ago, 100 years ago, whatever. No, it was 100 years ago. And I realized, yeah, they're all just nerds. I mean, okay, for me, it's Dungeons & Dragons and my website and my podcast and all these other geeky nerd pursuits that I chase after with my free time. But for them, well, it's Willa Cather. Nerds come in all shapes and sizes. And once I put that into perspective, yeah, suddenly they were so much more relatable. And we wound up having a wonderful conversation. Again, we had the guy who explained to us all of the opera houses in Nebraska and how much he enjoyed this big display of the opera houses downstairs, and he named off the ones that he was familiar with and had seen. And the very nice lady that was there sitting next to him, apparently among her volunteer efforts with the Willa Cather Foundation, she also is involved in Shakespeare in the Park in Omaha, and she recounted all sorts of things that they're working on doing with Shakespeare in the Park this year. And we're thinking that we may actually drive up to Omaha and go watch Shakespeare this summer because, boy, that sounds really good. I think they're going to do Hamlet and Midsummer Night's Dream. And that sounds like an awesome time. Take out a picnic supper and go hang out in the park and watch a play. This is great. She was very convincing. And like I say, once we did that, really much easier to fit in. We had a really good time. Supper was wonderful. We learned a lot. These were some very interesting people in their own unique way. But then we got to the show. And I'm going to tell you again, the cook is really funny. And I'm going to get this story wrong, but from what I gather, apparently the cook was believed to be lost for the last 100 years. And they found a copy of the film in, I believe, Sweden, but a damaged and incomplete copy. And then another different copy of the film was found in, I don't know, Denmark? Maybe? Some other Northern European nation. And they took those two copies and they've spliced them together to get it as close to the original as possible. And then, of course, they had to redub it all back into English, the title cards and all that. And this is, I've never seen, like, say, any silent film, but it was just fascinating because it was clearly, it was like watching Second City, all right? Or watching some other, you know, The State, some other sketch show like that, where you've got this group of actors and they have this basic premise that, okay, you know, Fatty Arbuckle is a cook in a restaurant and Buster Keaton is playing the waiter, and then they have, you know, this whole cast that comes in and plays off of them. But ultimately, even though, okay, that's their basic premise, it was really just a bunch of random skits just kind of thrown together. It's like, okay, we have the restaurant set up, we have all this funny stuff that happens in a restaurant, but you know what would be really funny? I've got this great idea for a fishing scene. Can we have the cook go fishing? Okay, yeah, we'll throw that one in. Hey, and you know what? How about 5 minutes of all of us just sitting around a table eating spaghetti? I think we can come up with like 30 funny ways to eat spaghetti, can't we? And so it was just like these series of anywhere from 30 seconds to 3 or 4 minutes of just whatever funny idea they happen to have, and then they just throw it into this movie, and there's no plot, there's no sense to it, just joke after joke after joke. And yes, some of them are old and dated and, you know, kind of a little stale after 100 years. But some of them, I mean, it's just good vaudeville, slapstick, physical comedy. They're just great stuff in there. And it was really, really funny. Then, after The Cook, and if you want to go check it out on YouTube, I recommend, go look it up. It's worth your time. Again, the version you're going to see on YouTube, the versions you're going to find for free online, are not nearly up to the level of what we got to see, because really, whoever put the final film together and then the wonderful scoring, everybody involved put a lot of effort into this, and it really paid off. I think there is a DVD version of this final copy that is available, but Eli had to probably tell you more about that than I could. But then we watched The Kid, and if you've never seen a Charlie Chaplin film, there's a reason that the man's name is still iconic today. There's a reason that we remember Charlie Chaplin, because The Kid was brilliant. It was a beautiful, beautiful movie. The premise is an abandoned child who is raised by Charlie Chaplin's his homeless tramp character. Well, not homeless, but his tramp character. And the tramp raises up this kid from a baby, and it is just, it's touching and poignant and funny. And I was really, really moved by a 100-year-old silent film. I guess it's something, I don't know, snobby in me that just kind of, I've never really thought much of the idea of silent films or even black and white films. But basically anything that old, it's like, you know what, come on, we've done something better now. You can find a version of this story nowadays that would be much more, I don't know, much more real to me, much more relatable, I suppose. And yet, no, there was something so deep about this. And again, it was really funny and really touching. And there were, don't get me wrong, The Kid has some really, really stupid parts in it, too. There's some stuff that is clearly very dated. There's a whole dream sequence at the end that was just cheesy in general. And I'm sure Chaplin meant it to be highly symbolic. To me, it was just kind of a little too much. But overall, totally worth your time. I don't mean to spend this much time on this movie, but I really, really enjoyed it. So if you've got a chance, man, go check it out. I'm going to go check out on Netflix. We've already put a couple extra Chaplin films into our queue because, well, suddenly I realized, hey, maybe there is something worth watching here. So I learned something new, and I'm very happy with that. But now here comes the best part of the night. After we get done watching the films, had a great time, we went downstairs to the gift shop, which was closed, by the way. All the lights were out, it was closed, and yet somebody went and found somebody who could open it up for us, and they unlocked it, and we went back, and they let us go shopping, and they flipped the lights on for us, and my wife bought a lovely necklace to commemorate the event, and everyone in Red Cloud was just so nice to us. We had a wonderful time. But once the band got everything packed up and cleaned up and they were ready to go, we went out to the bar and we hung out with Eliahead and his wife and the rest of the Mont Alto Orchestra, and they were great. Here's the deal. Again, I've said this before, I've known Eliahead for over 10 years, but again, only online. Every interaction we've ever had has been typed. I mean, yeah, maybe there's been some instant chat, maybe there's been, you know, the forum interactions, other stuff that we've done together. But I've never spoken to him on the phone, not even before this event. I mean, we exchanged phone numbers, but didn't use them. So I've never talked to him, never seen him in person, never nothing. And so, as much as I like Eliahead, I've always liked Eliahead, one of my favorite people online, there's that nervousness that, well, yeah, sure, but you've never met the guy. What if you get there and it's really awkward? I mean, what if you get there and it turns out that he's just an ass? What do you do? I should not have worried. We got there. We went to the bar and everyone, you know, ordered something to drink and they all got some food because they were starving. And it was just like being old friends. Apparently online friends actually counts because there was no awkwardness. We just sat down and we just started talking and joking. And it turns out that Eliahead is exactly the nice, wonderful guy that I thought he was. His wife was wonderful and charming. And the other members of the orchestra were hysterical. Oh, God, we laughed. And it was just really, really good. So I guess I'm not recommending that everyone go out and find strangers online to go meet up with and assume that you'll be best friends. But in this particular case, like I say, apparently 10 years of background was enough to build something. And we had a wonderful time. I would go drive that far to meet up with Eliahead any day of the week. We had a great time. I would love to hang out with him again. Unfortunately, he lives in Colorado, and our chances may not come around very often. But when they do, you can be sure I will be there, because it was a great time. Now it's time for a little bit of music. And tonight, I'm actually going to do two songs again. I've got a theme going here. Both of these are songs that we actually first heard while watching So You Think You Can Dance. You see, that's right. We've gotten down to the top three of American Idol just this week. And do you know what that means? Yeah, that means that pretty soon the Idol finale will be done with, and they're going to start doing So You Think You Can Dance. It always starts the following week. And I love the show So You Think You Can Dance. I don't care what you think about that. I think it's a great show. I've always enjoyed watching it. I've been watching it since season one. And fortunately for us, it's on in the summer. I mean, I like watching American Idol. I like watching a lot of shows. But I very rarely have time to watch TV. Fortunately, See That You Can Dance is on in the summer. I have time for it then. This first song is from the second season of So You Think You Can Dance, I think it is. And it is called Ramalama, and it is by Royzen Murphy, who is an Irish performer. And just absolutely wonderful. I own several of her songs. Really, really good stuff. But enough of my jabber. Let's go ahead and listen.
Could a body close the mind down? Stitch a seam across the eye. If you can be good, you live forever. If you're bad, you'll die when you die. Hearing only one true note on the one and only sound. Unzip my body, take my heart out. 'Cause I need a beat to give this turn.
That is a great song. I don't know how you could not like that song. And one of the best things about it is my kids, every one of them, love that song. In fact, every child I've ever played for, and I don't know what this says about the music, but every kid I've ever played that song for absolutely loves it right from the start. It's just really infectious. Just a really great song. You know, if I were more knowledgeable about music, I would have better adjectives and more in-depth analysis to describe it. But yeah, suffice to say, I like the song. But that leads us now to a mini-topic. It's the first time I've done this, but not quite a full topic. But I've wanted to talk about my brother's book for a while, and this is going to be the place to do it. My brother, as a lot of you know, Kyle, has written himself a novel. He and I ran a website together, and about a year ago or so, not quite that long, he suddenly just decided that he was done online because, darn it, he had to write a book. And he said, oh, I'll come back later, but right now I've got to write a book. And so he did. And it took him like 6 months. That's it. And he devoted, you know, a couple hours every night to it after all his kids had gone to bed. And by the way, the guy has 8 kids. So clearly he was totally ignoring his family responsibilities to get this done. But it was completely worth it. He wrote a book called The Norn's Quest. And it is a book intended for, it's aimed at a teenage audience. The hero is a 14-year-old girl named Abby who... and I'm not giving anything away because all of this happens in the first 30 seconds. But Abby lives in Texas in 2010, 2011, whatever year it is. And Abby dies in a car accident. And her soul is somehow pulled forward in time, possibly hundreds or even thousands of years. And her soul is stitched into a new body in this post-apocalyptic sort of world where the Norse gods, it turns out, have always been real. And I don't want to go too much in depth, but it's based on Norse mythology in a very direct sort of way. And it's just a really good story. Abby is supposed to be the savior of this world, and there is lots of really cool stuff that happens to her. She sets out on this very long, noble quest to save the whole world. And along the way, there's lots of action, lots of suspense, some very tender moments. There's some romance. There's a lot of things in it. It's just a really good book. I mean, 600 pages worth, and all of it really, really good. I wound up crying at one point of this book, and it's actually towards the beginning, about the end of the first section. It's a three-part book, and you get to the end of the first part, and it actually made me tear up. I wasn't like bawling, but you know, it made me tear up. And my brother had told me it would make me cry, because everyone who reads it cries. And so I went to tell him that. I said, ah, darn it, you were right, I cried. And you know what he does? You know how he responds when people tell him that they cried at his book? He mocks me. What are you, a baby? Yeah, I knew I'd get you, baby. Oh, he's a bad, bad man. All right, but a great writer. So for those of you who are interested in the Norn's Quest, I say all this to tease you because it's not available right now. Obviously, I have a copy because I'm special. But for the rest of you, he's right now working on submitting it to publishers. He's submitted it to a whole batch of agents to go to publishers, and he's getting very little response so far. So now he's working on his second round, and he's got some other possibilities. And ultimately, you know, he feels like he's got to make the effort, he's got to try, and if it gets picked up, great. Then some publisher will take care of it, and eventually you guys will all see copies available on Amazon or wherever. However, he's also told me that if he can't get it published, if he can't get an agent to take some interest in it or anything like that, then ultimately he is going to self-publish it, and then he'll make it available as an ebook online. And as soon as that comes up, he will make a public announcement about it. I will let everybody know on our website. And you guys can go out and check it out because it's totally worth your time. And so hopefully, you know, depending on whether it gets picked up or doesn't get picked up, he says, you know, sometime in the next 3 months to 6 months, you know, before the end of the year, something should be available. That's what he's hoping for. So I will keep you guys posted on it. But that brings us now to our second song for the night. And this one, not a lot of build-up, but again, it came from So You Think You Can Dance, and the song is called, well, it doesn't come from there, but that's where I found it. That's where my wife and I fell in love with it. And this song is called The Garden by an artist named Mira, and I'll let you listen.
I really wanted that thing. I just want to sing. I love you, baby. Won't you bring all the flowers you find out in the garden? Don't tell me the truth that your heart has hardened. But you don't want me anymore. How can it be? Look what you've done to me.
That is great. And I play those two together on the same episode, The Garden that we just heard and then Ramalama before that. Because to me, again, they both come from So You Think You Can Dance for me. And they both have a similar feel in my mind. I like the beat to them. Obviously, that's why they use them for the dances. And both of them, the way they were presented, the dances that were with them were very, very gothic style dances as well. They have similar tones to them. So, anyway, that's our music for this week. Last week, well, 2 weeks ago, again, last episode, I gotta get that straight. Last episode, I provided two quotes for the badass movie quote of the week. Both from the movie Conan the Barbarian, both by Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I offered up two Conan quotes, and I told you I would create a poll on the forums for people to vote on which one was their favorite. And people have voted, and the winner, the clear winner, with almost two-thirds of the vote, is To Hell With You, Crom, which I will recount for you quickly. Here's the full version. I played the shorter version of it in the episode, but the full version, which I couldn't get a sound clip for, Crom, I have never prayed to you before. I have no tongue for it. No one will know if we were good men or bad, why we fought or why we died. But all that matters is that two stood against many. I know the battle pleases you, Crom, so grant me one request. Grant me revenge. And if you do not listen, then to hell with you. Except, of course, he said it with a really bad Arnold Schwarzenegger Austrian accent. So my version, much, much better. So that was our winner. Yay! All right. So, what about this week? All right, this week, I finally gave up. I have a quote, a badass movie quote of the week that I've been wanting to use since episode one, and I cannot for the life of me find a clip of this thing that I think is worthy of putting on. It's a little thing, and so I know I could rent the movie, or I suppose I should have even seen it bad on Netflix. Maybe I could have ripped it from there. But I'm just going to tell it to you. From the movie City Slickers, the line comes from the character Curly, played by the inimitable Jack Palance. And his line, Jack Palance, if you'll remember in this movie, is the tough-as-nails cowboy. He is the leader of the cattle drive, and he's the real cowboy. He's the real deal. And he is a man's man and full of swagger. And his line, very casually, is, I crap bigger than you. I love that line. I crap bigger than you. All right, there you go. If I can find the thing, I will play it on a future episode. But for right now, that's all I got. So there's Jack Palance, 1991, City Slickers. And he craps bigger than you. All right, now it's time for the Podomatic. That's right. Come on, R2. All right. R2 gives me 73. And that is from Zimny. Zimny again. His says, have you ever witnessed any historical events? Well, let me think. I was watching TV when the president announced that Osama was dead. Does that count as historic? Wait, in sixth grade, I watched on TV as the first space shuttle was launched into space. Does that count? Does that? No. No, because I watched those on TV. Everyone did that. Okay. Have I ever seen any historic events live in person? No. No, not really. Okay, well, no, wait. Not exactly true. I was present at the birth of the first human being to land on the planet Mars. That is historic. All right. Let's try another one, R2. What do you got for me? I can always count on you, R2. Our number is 30, and R2 is actually standing up this time, so you know it has got to be a good one. So, number 30 says... Well, where is it? Ah, there we go. All right, this is from Anonymous. Anonymous says, can you pronounce it vociferously in the worst way possible? Well, of course. Let me try. Hitlerific. There you go. That was the worst way to say that. And then it also continues on and says, any other strange words? Well, yeah, have you not been listening? Quincunks. Quincunks. All right, you know what, R2? I don't know why you stood up for that one. That was not the best question, but fortunately my answer's made up for it. All right. How much time do we have? You know what? Let's do one more. Let's see what we got. Whoa! 00! Way to go, R2! 00, very bottom of the list? What is the last thing you watched on Roku? Roku! For those who don't know, Roku is the box that I use to watch my Netflix Instant Watch stuff on. You can watch Netflix Instant Watch on your computer. You can watch it on your Wii. We have that hooked up. I assume that PlayStation and Xbox all have the same functionality. But aside from all of that, we bought the $100 Roku box that allows us to watch Netflix. Love the Roku box. We got the Wii in the living room, the Roku box back in our bedroom. I can watch Netflix streaming anywhere I want. And all of this javelin talk here has been so that I can actually flip back through my account. And, okay. Good God. All right, there's Family Guy, American Dad, South Park. This is all stuff that I have not been watching on Roku, but my older kids have. What's the last thing I watched on Roku? God, I got to really go down the list. There's Danny Phantom, Phineas and Ferb. Okay, here it is. All right, the last thing that I watched was Sekirei, which is an anime, and I have only seen the first two episodes, but I watched the first two. Oh, and I guess I also watched at least a couple episodes of Hetalia in there. There's like 20 episodes of Hetalia I've watched, according to my Netflix account. And I watched at least one of those. But the last thing I saw was Sekirei, which is an anime about... girls with superpowers who battle like Pokemon is the best I can figure. We've just barely started this series. But the most important thing about them is that they all have really gigantic boobs and they like to be in situations that show them off. At least I think that's the plot. I'm not quite sure yet. So it's got my interest, but I have no idea if it's any good yet or not. I really need to watch more than just the two episodes and see what happens when there's an actual plot involved. I have no idea. But that's a series. The last movie I watched on Roku apparently was Airplane 2, which, of course, I've seen a million times. But my kids and I had watched Airplane a couple of years ago and loved Airplane. They had never seen it before, thought it was great. And so Atayan and I decided that we were going to watch Airplane 2. And, as it turns out, yeah, while it's not as good as the first one, still a great movie. Had a great time. Stupid fun. So, there you go. That's the last thing I've watched on Roku. And that brings us to the end of the show. So, this podcast was copyright 2011 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is from Sabotage by the Penelopes. Our music this week was Ramalama by Royce and Murphy and The Garden by Mira, both available on iTunes. If you feel like doing something nice for the podcast, head over to iTunes and write a nice review. If you want to contact me, you can always email me at mike@nerdprideradio.com or check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be totally honest, as always, the best way to talk to me, come sign up for the forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums. Sign up, send me a message, hang out, have fun. It's what we do. Man, I have got to practice those credits more because I am really out of shape with those. That was so awkward. Ah, but I'm glad you joined me. Have a great time. I'll see you next episode. With the lights out, it's less dangerous. Here we are now. Entertain us. I feel stupid. Contagious. Here we are now. Entertain us. A mulatto. An albino. A mosquito. My libido. Yeah.